welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out all the articles and podcasts. And as always, we ask you to please share those on social media. We appreciate it a great deal. Thank you all for tuning in tonight on this President's Day. We're going to be discussing President Trump a lot tonight. At least that's what I plan on talking about. And if he should run for office again in 2024, the Washington Examiner just put up a recent opinion piece that says Trump isn't a credible 2024 GOP presidential nominee. While I do not agree with a lot that is in the article, there are some valid points whether or not President Trump should be the man to run for the GOP in 2024. I think it is undoubtable that President Trump would be the most popular candidate that could run because he is so loved by so many in the Republican Party. I think a lot of people who normally don't even follow politics closely do grasp President Trump, and they do kind of drift over to his point of view and side of things because a lot of people do not trust government institutions, and President Trump is kind of seen as the outsider, not the normal politician. I would love nothing more than to see him come in for another 4 years in 2024. However, part of me doesn't know if it is the right decision. President Trump will be around 80 years old by the time he runs for office again. President Trump has also went through unprecedented scandal after scandal that have all been drawn up by the fake news media and the Democrats. They will do anything to take this guy out. Their viral hatred for him is unlike anything we have ever seen before in this country, with one man being hated so much by a political party. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. I'm starting to lean a little bit towards Governor Ron DeSantis, to be honest. I would love to see President Trump come back, but at that stage in his life, I just would wonder if he would just be better off backing Ron DeSantis, getting in his corner, getting all his supporters to back him, and then Ron DeSantis will be the man to take us into 2024. I love what he's done with Florida. He's been impressing me. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm rambling here, Rob, but 2024 is coming up quick. As I said, I would love nothing more to see President Trump, but if he ends up stepping down and letting Ron DeSantis be the Republican candidate, I would take that as well. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
Andrew, I'm doing great. And you just said a mouthful, my brother. This is going to be a rather deep show tonight. I never knew you felt that way, but I'm glad you're expressing your thoughts on President Trump. And this is President's Day. Want to say, you know, congratulations to all the presidents. I think that what you're saying and the article, because we've both read the article from the Washington Examiner, there are a lot of valid points that are there. But I just want to go over a couple of top items of Trump's accomplishments. Number one, tax reform for hardworking families. With the passage of the Tax Cuts and Job Acts, he secured our border. He started building the wall. He wasn't able to complete it. He had the money for it, or he was asking Congress for the money for it. And then Mad Dog Mattis came in and said, no, I want to pay the troops. We need to give them a raise. They haven't had a raise in a long time. Barack Obama just deserted them, thought that they were nobodies. So I need to give them a raise. I agreed with that, although I still wanted the border wall to be put up. Build a wall, get it as high as you can. So he deferred and he said, okay, I want to pay the troops. Now, a lot of conservatives didn't like that. They were mad because they still wanted that wall. And there was no reason why we couldn't build a wall and pay the troops. But of course, Mad Dog Mattis had designs. He knew what he was doing because he never wanted the wall to be built. So under a ruse, he said, let's pay the troops, knowing that Trump thinks extremely highly of our military. So he said, okay, let's pay the troops, and which is what they did. The next thing, better trade deals. We were being hijacked. We were taking it up the bomb without any Vaseline whatsoever. You know what I mean, folks. Let's just get honest here. The trade deals with Mexico, Canada, China, and all these other places, we were just being completely screwed over. Trump put an end to that. Now, of course, corporate America, they didn't like it because they enjoyed being screwed. They enjoyed seeing our jobs leave America, leave our soil, and go overseas to prop up India, Bangladesh, China, and all these other countries, taking the jobs from America. Where are our manufacturing jobs? Why aren't we making or producing our own antibiotics? Why aren't we producing the cell phones, the little chips inside, the little chips for cars? Why aren't we doing it? Well, we're not doing it because we decided to have this great idea to build up other countries' infrastructure, to build up their middle class, and to hell with our own middle class. Well, you know, we want too much money here. I get that. I understand that point. Get rid of the unions. Now, I know people are saying, oh, no, we need the unions. You know, Andrew, I never understood it, because if we have the Department of Labor, what the hell are they doing? They should be looking out for the rights of a people. We have unions to make certain that workers are treated fairly, to make certain that they're paid accordingly, to make certain that kids aren't working. Because yes, we as humans will take advantage of each other if we see that we can. No, I'm not saying that all unions are bad. I'm sure that they have their place and time. But by God, oftentimes the unions do more harm than good. We need to bring our jobs back. Operation Warp Speed. Quiet as it's kept, and I know a lot of you probably didn't take the vaccine. You have different opinions about the vaccine, but we have to give Trump credit that he went through all the red tape, broke straight through it, and said, we need to have a vaccine. Now, you have to remember, folks, that it was the individuals on the left, the scientists, the Democrats, the politicians, the doctors, corporate America, who all laughed at the idea when he said that we're going to have a vaccine. They all said it's impossible. It's going to take 5 years, 10 years. Oh, we'll never see it. Even Dr. Fauci himself said the exact same thing, that it could not be done because they didn't want it done, because they saw that as being a win for Trump. And because it was during an election season, an election cycle, they felt that, oh, if he gets this, people will definitely vote for him. We can't have that. But he called all the big heads of the pharmaceutical companies, all the corporations, and said, this is what I want done, and this is how we're going to do it. Now, mind you, they were being paid to do this handsomely by the government. But when it came close for the election, they sat on the fact that they had gotten a vaccine. And the moment the election was over, oh, here's your vaccine. Here's your vaccine. And we got to also remember that at the time, candidate Biden and his co-candidate, Kamala Harris, had poo-pooed on the vaccine, because they too were afraid that that vaccine might come out before the election. So they said, I wouldn't take it if it was associated with Trump. Now, again, I know a lot of you have an opinion about the vaccine. Don't take it. Should we take it? I get it. But we have to give him credit for coming up with Operation Warp Speed, which gave us the vaccine. Let's give him credit. And then our veterans. He put our veterans first. There are too many times, and I don't think that people are thinking or actually conceptualizing a lot of this, that there are too many times that you walk in the streets and you see signs from individuals saying, I'm a vet, Vietnam vet, I'm a this vet or that vet, Iraqi vet now, please help me, please donate to me. This is the first time in our lifetimes in this century that we've seen so many of our soldiers on the streets homeless. These guys were actually in war and they came back with PTSD. And a lot of other ailments, unable to adjust in society. We had a gentleman who's running for Congress in California, Joe Collins, who said that when he initially came back, he was homeless for a while. Because what you guys don't realize is that when these guys go off to war, yes, the government does a little bit for them, but they're leaving behind families and they're on a thin budget. And when the primary breadwinner is off to war and he's making probably minimum wage and not making a lot. I mean, if he has a house full of kids and a wife, I mean, she now has to find a job. It's a strain on the family, and I don't think you guys realize it. I don't think you realize the sacrifices that our veterans go through, the sacrifices that they're putting out there for us to have our freedom. We just don't appreciate them enough. You know why we don't appreciate them? Because we see them as being just regular Joe Schmoes. We see them as being rejects of society, and that's the only job they can take on. So if you're not going to go to college, if you're not going to go out and get a job, just go to the Army. How many of you have heard that? Well, go to the Army. It'll keep you busy. It'll give you discipline, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't value the fact that they're putting their lives on the line. This is someone's child. This is someone's father. This is someone's son, an uncle, a friend, a husband. And in now cases, someone's wife or daughter or niece. They're going out there paying the ultimate sacrifice. Now, some of them are from prominent families and some of them aren't. And then when they come back home, they have to adjust. They have to get a job. And they have all this going through their heads of killing people, seeing people being killed, trying to walk the thin line so that if they make a mistake, they could be court-martialed. They have the burden of this on them. So President Trump came in and realized this and said, we're going to take care of our veterans. We're going to make certain that they get good health care. This is what Trump did when he was in office. The other things that he did to try to bring us together, to try to weed out the swampers on the Hill. And now we see that some of them are still there making profits off of corporation stocks and whatnot, inside trading. Nancy Pelosi at the top, almost worth $200 million. For her 30 years of being working for the government. You have people that are working for the private sector that would never get that amount of money. How did she do it? On a government salary. That's probably logging in at $150,000 or $75,000. How did she become a millionaire? Oh, well, her husband. Well, how did he have access to all this information? Oh, it was because of the inside trading. Look at Maxine Waters living in a mansion, paying her daughter and her granddaughter hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yet still, she's been in Watts for how long? 30 plus years, still saying we will overcome, still saying that I'm going to help Black people out, and she hasn't done a damn thing for Black people. Whereas Trump came in, he reduced the unemployment for Black people by 4 or 3%, the lowest it has ever been since the 60s. Yet still, you want to say he's prejudiced. Well, why? Well, because he didn't say that he loved all Black people. I don't give a damn if he never says he loved me. If he's working for me, if he's making things available for me, why does he need to say he loves me? Some of your parents don't tell you that they love you, but yet and still you sit at their feet and worship them. We have to put all this into context. And because this is President's Day, I want to make certain that you guys understand this. What he did versus what Biden is not doing, dragging us into a war that has nothing to do with us. Our borders are wide open. We should be concerned about that. He failed in Afghanistan. 13 soldiers were killed. 20 plus civilians were killed, including children, because he was trying to do a payback. He failed. He has consistently failed us, failed the American people. Build back better. Failure. Bringing us together as he said he was going to do, Andrew, when he was inaugurated. He wanted unity. He has not came close to bringing us together. There's a wedge that has separated us. Andrew, I was thinking about it before we came on air. I think this country is the most divided it has ever been since the 60s and the 70s, during Vietnam and the whole civil rights movement. We are so divided and so polarized. We hate our neighbors. We hate our family members. And what for? Now, some would say, well, blame Trump because he came into office. This is going to get to the article that you mentioned. Blame Trump because he did this. He created all this division. Is it that Trump opened up our eyes as to what was going on while we were walking around in this make-believe world, thinking that everything was okay and it wasn't? In a world that nominated not once, but twice, a Black president who did absolutely nothing but to divide us, a Black president who under his stewardship saw the increase in Black unemployment, the decrease in Black ownership of homes, the decrease in Black ownership of small businesses, That was under a Black president. We have to be honest and face the facts. We have to be honest and call this out. Now, I know a lot of people will say, well, let's not say that because he was the first. I don't care if he was the first, the middle, or the last. If you're not good at your job, we don't need you. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing right now. We have too many first, the first woman, the first Asian, the first Black. And what have they done? They have done absolutely nothing to move us forward. Absolutely nothing. But it depends on the party affiliation. And I hate to bring it down to politics. But when you look at the Black Republicans that are out there, Tim Scott, who proposed a bill for criminal justice, and who fought it down? Black people, the Black Democrats. Just the other day in Georgia, we had the Georgia local Congress wanting to erect a bust or statue in honor of Clarence Thomas. Who fought against it? Black Democrats in the Georgia Congress, along, of course, with the woke white Democrats. Clarence Thomas, a success story, who came from nothing, worked his way up, and is now a Supreme Court justice. Now you have these same people walking around and saying, we need a Black person on the court. We need a Black woman on the court. Well, you got a Black man. What's wrong with that? You have a Black man who heads the family, who's supposed to be a symbolic figure for the family. And you're tearing him down because you don't like his politics. Instead, you want to put up a Black woman. We have too many Black women right now leading the charge of our households. And where has it gotten us? This is reminiscent of the 60s and the 70s when they took the Black man out of the house because if he was in the house, the Black family wouldn't get government assistance. So they didn't worry about marrying the Black woman. They didn't want to have, they would have relationships, but they would not get married out of fear that if I marry her, they're going to take away the money because I don't have a job that will sustain the family because the jobs that are there are headed by Democrat politicians. And they see me as a Black man as a threat. So they would not allow me to move up the ladder. Let's just be honest here. This is the source of the problem in the United States. You have people running around talking about CRT and wanting to understand the issues and understand racism. And when you really look at it and you peel back the onion, who do you see at the top, at the head? You have the racist white Democrat. Now, don't be fooled. There are a lot of racist Republicans, but the people that control the jobs that are at the top, they will immediately tell you, I vote Democrat. I don't like them Yankee Republicans. This is President's Day. It is time to get real and tell the truth. Now, I just gave you the accomplishments, some of them, of President Trump. I don't know what President Biden has done other than to continue to divide us. But the article that Andrew mentioned that was in the Washington Examiner, Andrew, I understand it completely. And I'm glad that you were forthcoming when you were saying that, you know, President Trump, he will be in his 80s should he decide to take on this task again. And I too, and I've said this before on the show, maybe I didn't say it so profoundly as I will say it now, is that I too would like for him to run and I would definitely support him. But he has to do so with all modesty. It can't be the same way that he did previously. It worked then, but it will not work now. And you might say, well, what do you mean by work now? Well, he has to come up with a plan. He has to be laser focused. He can't be punching down. He has to allow the people around him to punch. He has to keep his eyes on the prize because we know now that they do not like him. He can't be so readily quick and wanting to go out and let Maggie Haberman interview him. That's got to stop.
Yeah. And for you, Rob, is this a two-person race at this point? I know the candidates haven't even announced who's running, as far as I know anybody has, but you're looking at President Trump would be option number one for me. Governor DeSantis would be option number two, and maybe Kristi Noem would be option number three. She's the only other one I could think of that I would be somewhat satisfied with. Besides those three, is there anyone in the Republican Party that you would be satisfied with running for president in 2024?
Well, Trump would definitely be my number one on the list. I never really considered anyone else, maybe DeSantis as a VP. I just don't see DeSantis, and I said this in one of our other shows, as having the gravitas, the commanding presence that Trump has. And to be honest with you, I don't see anyone out there with that kind of presence. Because where we are now, the person that takes up that mantle cannot be weak at all. That person has to be someone who's willing to steamroll right over with this agenda. Now, I caution you as to what you're hearing when I say steamroll. I'm not saying being completely, you know, I'm going to attack all the time. I'm going to attack this person. I'm going to do this and do that. No, you can't do that. Okay. As I said, Trump has to be laser focused. The person we need in that position has to have Trump's work ethics, has to have Trump's bravado, but the person has to be disciplined. He has to be larger than life, because that's the only way he's going to get respect from the global community. The only way he's going to get respect from his party and from the Democrats and mainly the independents. Because let's say if Trump were to get it, if he thinks for half a second that they're not going to impeach him the second day, he's wrong, because they're going to. Right. And if he does not have the support of the Republicans, as in the representatives and the Senate, oh, we're going to be right back to where we were in 2016, those 4 years onward, and probably even more so. Because we see right now that a lot of them don't want him there. And I've said this, and I think we both agree on this. Mitch McConnell has to go. What's the other guy's name? Lindsey Graham. He straddles the fence too much for me. You can have an opinion. You can disagree. But when you come out hard with those opinions, knowing that they're going to affect the party, just think about it. Some of the things that these guys are saying, it is a complete turnoff, and it gives the left ammunition to run in an ad. I mean, why would you go before a camera and say, well, Mr. President, he's wrong about this and he's that? Who cares about that? People, the supporters of Trump aren't even focusing in on Jan 6. If you guys were to stay lockstep and call it for what it is, yes, you can say what happened is unfortunate. And those people that did it, they need to face consequences. They need to be punished. I understand that. Okay, I understand them trespassing, which is wrong. They should not have done it. But the vitriol and the way we attack it, some on the right, oh no, they need to, because what they did, it was a sacred institution. Okay, but why don't you use that same fervor and attack the left and what they did when they burned down the cities during the spring and summer of 2020? Why don't you do the same thing? Why don't you call them out? Why aren't you out looking for justice, as opposed to saying, well, you know, it was just a protest? The hell it was a protest. These people killed people. They burned down buildings that taxpayers will have to pay for. Communities destroyed, businesses leaving those communities. And what happens? You will have abandoned buildings. And then what will happen? You will have drug addicts that will come in. And then what will happen? You will have people that will come in and just set up these violent gang settings. And then we'll look back and say, what happened? I can't believe this. What happened to the city? Well, you allowed it to happen by being silent. You were focusing in on something, as I said, was a College Board prank that went completely out of control. Ashley Babbitt lost her life. She was murdered in cold blood. The right needs to start saying it. Stop being afraid that if you say it, they're going to say that I'm a racist. Who cares what they say? Andrew, I almost said the four-letter word with the F. But I caught myself. It's after dark, but I don't want to go there. But, you know, I just get passionate when I talk about this. And your opening was so revealing. And I'm like, man, I mean, that's what you said. I'm sure that a lot of people are thinking the same thing. Should we support him? Should we not?
Right.
But they're afraid to see it.
Another factor is President Trump, if he does run again, it would be guaranteed to be a one-term president. And as we know, it's a lot easier to get reelected than to win the first time. So say Governor DeSantis decided to run, he would be able to run again in 2028 with seemingly momentum behind him, because I don't think it'll be hard, or no matter who the candidate is or president is, they'll obviously do a better job than Joe Biden has been doing, and things will be starting to look a little bit better. So, yeah, I just think if you look at the momentum, Governor DeSantis has it right now. Florida seems to be the model that everybody in the country wishes that they lived under. He did a fantastic job during the COVID-19, and he does not have the gravitas towards President Trump. You're right about that. But maybe that means the Democrats won't attack him in the same way, and maybe they won't steal the election from him, because that's another concern if President Trump runs, that the Democrats are going to be desperate to do anything that they can to steal that election from him and make sure he does not become president of the United States. They hate the man that much. You guys are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available at America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Dr. Vladimir Zelenko knows a thing or two about the immune system. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his early COVID-19 treatments, and now he's offering his Z-Stack supplements to our listeners at a discount. Just go to zstacklife.com/freedom. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
It's time to rethink COVID disinfection. A study by Harvard, Drexel, and Virginia Tech concluded, we don't have a single documented case of COVID transmission through surfaces. The reality is that COVID spreads mainly through the air. Shared air is the problem, not shared surfaces. The solution is the Genesis Fogger, which uses natural HOCl to disinfect both air and surfaces simultaneously. It's perfect for home or business. NIH says HOCl may well be the disinfectant of choice for coronaviruses. There's nothing more natural or more effective. Genesis fogs at the precise particle size to combat COVID and other harmful pathogens. It's what's missing from your disinfecting protocol. Visit genesisfogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at genesisfogger.com/outloud.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
And we're back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew on this President's Day show. And the first half hour, we really delved into presidents, their accomplishments, and the lack of accomplishments by President Biden, and whether or not the party, the Republican Party, should view Donald Trump as the person who should run in 2024. And Andrew just laid it out with a lot of compelling reasons as to why we should definitely consider supporting him or consider him being at the top. We support him, but whether or not he should be the person, the candidate for 2024. One of the things that's really important is that his age. The man is an energizer bunny. We have to give it to him. And there are a lot of individuals that are in their 80s and they're still doing it. Look at Warren Buffett. Look at Justice Breyer, who's getting ready to retire, much older than President Biden, yet still they're still going. And the list just goes on and on and on. My grandmother lived to be in her 90s and she was still going. Look at John McCain's mom. She was in 100 and she was still driving. It's conceivable that if he decides to run, he'll still be at that level of energy. But as Andrew said, he would only be a one-termer. So he would definitely need to choose a candidate that he would be able to groom to fill his shoes once he steps down. And the other thing, because we know that Trump has a huge ego, and I'm okay with that. You have to have an ego if you're going to be in that office. But he has to also understand that he's only in there for 4 years, one term, and that he's grooming his successor. So the decisions that he makes and everything that he does will roll over to the successor. And that successor has to be able to pick up the mantle and go with it. So he can't be in thinking, oh, well, I'm going to stay in for another term. Nope, that's not it. You're only in for one term. And the other thing that we have to think about is that, you know, we're looking at candidates, and I know, Andrew, you're going to weigh in on this also. So I look at the candidates that are out there who can do it, who can't do it. Why is it that there is a push for Trump to run a second term? Is it because he has all that gravitas, and he's a commanding type figure, and he knows what needs to happen? I mean, that's one of the things I look at. But also, is there something in us that says he was cheated, we want revenge, and we want him to come back? And if that's the reason, I'm okay with that, because there's a little part of me that feels the same way, that the left cheated royally. And I don't care how many times they say that they did it. I don't care how many times they say, oh, well, we look at the polls. You can say that all day long. And I would say this to the people on the right, our Republicans and conservatives. Let's just be honest. Okay, did Joe Biden get 80 million votes? Okay, let's say that he did. But were they fair votes? Or was it from voter harvesting? Was it from dead people voting? Well, it was only one dead person. Okay, one dead person. But how many people voted more than once? How many people voted when they shouldn't have voted? That's what you have to look at. And that granular level of detail, if we really wanted to get down to it, there would be a lot of pushback. And you would have people saying, oh, well, we can't do it because of this. And when we started doing it, this happened. And then it would just open up another can of worms. Because we here in America, we like to complicate things. We like to make things extremely complicated, especially when we see that the result, the end result, is not going to be the end result that we want. So we want to complicate it and put in all these barriers to keep us from getting at the truth, just like Jan 6. Look at what the Democrats have done. They put all these barriers up there so that we can't get to the truth. And it's unfortunate, because the way our government is set up is that the party that's in control, they get to move the chess pieces on the board to their liking. And the other party just has to sit there and say, well, you know, that's not right. And because, too, we don't have an honest media, Andrew. We don't. We have to be honest. We don't have an honest media, even on the right. I mean, I like Fox News, but sometimes I think that they're asleep at the wheels. And it's up to us independent journalists like you and I and our family at America Out Loud to put the truth out there. We've had so many different reporters to come on here from the New York Post, and Washington Examiner, to talk about stories that they've covered that the mainstream media just won't cover. And they're not being biased, they're just putting it out there. So I would say again, we don't have a completely honest media, and the media, for the most part, the bulk of them are propaganda arms of the Democrat Party. How are we gonna clean all this up? How will we get to the bottom of this and say, here, this is what happened and this should not have happened? Only if we have a strong leader at the top will we be able to achieve that goal. When you look at all the presidents from the past, now I know that history tries to whitewash it, try to clean it up and make it really perfect and nice, but it's not perfect and nice. When you look way back, you look at Theodore Roosevelt, who was a rebeller, who would get there and fight like the best of them. But now we have these proper and prim presidents who want to drink with their pinky finger. It's like, I don't want that. I want someone who's going to fight. And that's what Trump gave us. He fought a bit too much, I think. when he should have been making, you know, having consensus or trying to, you know, at least work toward a consensus. Now, he was very quick to just call people out like he did Nancy Pelosi when he grounded her when she thought she could fly, when he called out Chuck Schumer on TV. I'm okay with all that. But I'm not okay with talking to Nancy Haberman, Bob Woodward, and all these other lefties that mean you no good. And then what you said only comes back to haunt you. And then you want to tell us, oh, well, that's a lie, it's a lie. Oh, they're trash. Okay, that's fine. We get it. But you put yourself in that situation. You have advisors around you for a reason. Now, granted, some of his advisors were corrupt. He now knows better. So if we bestow up on him and say, okay, we're going to give you a second chance, I hope he's listening to people like you and me, Andrew. We're not going to steer him incorrectly. But we want people that are there that are going to do the people's job. We want someone at the top, because I'm telling you, after these tumultuous few years with the Biden-Harris administration, we need a major cleanup. And the agenda from the left, and guys, don't be fooled in thinking that if whoever we get to come in, be it Trump or DeSantis or whomever, that they'll be able to change things with the flick of a pen. That's not going to happen, because a lot of this stuff has now taken part of our culture. A lot of this craziness, a lot of this identification, like boys swimming in women's sports, this whole transgender deal, it has taken hold. This whole LGBTQ left agenda, wayward agenda, and that's what it is, because you have members of, you have people who are gay that's saying, we don't identify with anything that those left, crazy lefties are saying. You look at San Francisco. There's a guy right now, Scott Wiener. He is trying to pass a bill to make it legal for people to have relationships with teenagers. And he himself happens to be gay. There's nothing wrong with that, him being gay, that is. But the bill, the legislation that he's trying to pass, there's something wrong with that. And we have to be forever aware and woke as to what they're trying to do in our society. And like I said, the cost, the top, the lid has been taken off. And a lot of this has just seeped into the mainstream. It's going to be hell to correct it. So we need a leader who can do that. And he has to have someone supporting him. The VP who can pick up the mantle once his first term is up, if it's Trump, and say, okay, this is what needs to happen. What do you say, Andrew?
Yeah, well said, Rob. And I absolutely agree. It's going to be a long task to fix everything that Biden is screwed up. Of course, we've seen President Trump do this before with Barack Obama. He quickly corrected a lot of the mistakes that Barack Obama made with a flick of a pen, because Obama signed so many executive orders. Trump could sign his own. But Joe Biden has been such a disaster for this country. You look at the economy, you look at his foreign policy, you look at anything that has an impact on people's lives, and Joe Biden is failing the American people. So the GOP, the Republican Party, needs to get it together and have a strong candidate they are backed behind coming into 2024. Because it is going to be there for the taking. The American people are not happy with the job Joe Biden is doing. The Democrats are going to be very vulnerable. You look at what is happening in our country, and I think it's going to continue to get worse. We hear what's going on in Ukraine. Could be another disaster, just like Afghanistan was for Joe Biden and his administration. I think they're going to be ripe for the taking in 2022, the midterms here. And again, in 2024, because the president we have right now is not a competent leader and he is not fit for the job. In fact, he's showing a lot of early signs of dementia. So I think the Democrats are toast in 2024, but it's up to the GOP to bring out a strong leader like a President Trump, like a Governor Ron DeSantis, that people can get behind and have a vision for the future that is actually exciting. I mean, you look at President Trump, all the things he got done. He was talking about the border wall. He's talking about rebuilding our country, record job numbers, more Blacks working than ever before, more Latinos working than ever before. It was just a perfect mix of things going right under President Trump. And it's quite the opposite what we see right now. Now we're back to the days of identity politics and picking people because they're a certain color, not because they earned the job. So many things that the American people can see through with this Biden administration. I just think he is toast in 2024, and so are the Democrats, because the American people are fed up.
Yes, they are fed up, Andrew, and everything that you said is so spot on. My only caution to, like they say, caution to the wind, that I would say to people that are looking at voting and thinking that it's a wrap-up come November, and we've both said this, is that the Republicans have a way of messing everything up. They have a way of not being focused, getting bogged down in silly little fights. I heard the other day that this whole thing with Ukraine, we were told that last Wednesday they were going to go in and they were going to invade. Now, whoever heard of someone announcing when they're going to invade another country? You just do it because it's the surprise element. But we can't get bogged down in Ukraine and start focusing in on Joe's incompetence there, because we know that he's going to be incompetent. We can mention it, but then go back to what's critical, what's important, the border, gasoline prices, high inflation. We have to keep that at the forefront. The schools, the mask, the mandates, them firing people because they didn't want to take the vaccine, because they didn't want to wear the mask. And we said before on one of our shows, if you recall, when we were in the middle of this horrible pandemic caused by the Chinese government, let's just be honest, it wasn't a wet market. This was a manufactured deal that Dr. Fauci knew about, and he's trying to hide it. But when we were in the throes of this, we had all these essential workers that we were celebrating. We were on the outside beating buckets and pans and whatnot at 5 o'clock every evening. Fast forward, we're now firing them because they don't want to take the vaccine. What kind of sense does that make? I mean, let's think about it. You're going to call these people essential workers and require that they go to work during this pandemic, this self-made pandemic that China gave us. And then when they decide, well, we don't want to take it, well, we're going to fire you. But I thought I was essential. We need to stay focused on those topics. We know that Biden is incompetent, but don't get bogged down with Ukraine, because that's none of our business, okay? Let's just be honest here. Ukraine, the size of Texas. Ukraine is not a perfect government. Yes, they're supposed to be a democracy, but you look at what they did to their former president, locked him up, kicked him out. And now you have a comedian who's running the show. So let's not get bogged down with that. And we won't mention Ukraine, because it's worth mentioning, because we know that Joe is going to screw it up. But we need to stay focused on the matters at hand and making certain that Republicans hold the line. We need to make certain that we are supporting candidates that will hold the line, because they're going to, they being the left, mainly the media, they're going to throw everything possible at these candidates. We had Laverne Spicer on not too long ago. You look at Joe Kent. I mean, these are patriots, people that we want there. But we see already some people within our party, they're like, oh, well, maybe we should look at the other person. Look at the other person from what? Like Jeff Dornick said once, maybe we should primary everyone that's there to let them know we mean business. Maybe we would get their attention and they would jump in line and say, wait a minute, we need to support the people that the people want. We need to support those candidates that the people want, because us trying to go off the reservations and willy-nilly and vote for someone, that ain't going to work. And a lot of times that's what they do. They want to vote for someone who's going to be their buddy, who's going to do absolutely nothing. I mean, we've seen a lot of good candidates that are running, that are speaking truth to power, candidates that Trump is supporting. We need to make certain that we stay focused on this and don't allow the Democrats to take us down their crazy rabbit hole. We already know that they're incompetent. We already know that they're crazy. Let's not participate in their craziness. So, Andrew, when we're looking at, you touched on this, let's say if Trump were to be the candidate, or even DeSantis, who would you see possibly as a VP?
Well, if it's President Trump that ends up running again, I would like to see him have Governor Ron DeSantis as the VP. So DeSantis could ideally take over again in 2028. Then maybe we would have 2024 to 2032 under Republican leadership. And I do think Governor DeSantis is a very competent leader. As I said, you look at Florida, he's just done a marvelous job in Florida. He is so popular in Florida. What was once seen as kind of a purple state is now kind of being seen as a red state because the people that live there love their governor so much. I mean, President Trump won Florida in big numbers last time around, in a large part because of how good of a job Ron DeSantis has done. If Ron DeSantis ends up being the candidate, I would like to see him perhaps go with Kristi Noem. She's a woman. She's another person who's done a fantastic job through the coronavirus pandemic. Her state, South Dakota, never shut down. They kept their jobs. Everybody in the state seems to really adore her. I think she would be a good vice president candidate. But after you look at these three that I just mentioned, the decline seems to be steep over in the Republican Party. You look at some other people who could possibly be running. Of course, you got the annual talk of Chris Christie always wanting to put his name in the hat to run. I would not be happy with that. He's a complete rhino. Look at some of the others, like Ted Cruz, who ran last time, but he's made a lot of comments since then where people have lost a lot of respect for him. And I think he's kind of weak. He can change if he's pressured enough. I do not think Ted Cruz would be a good candidate. So to me, it's President Trump and Ron DeSantis that have to run in 2024. And what will be interesting to see as well is our neighbors to the north, Canada. They've had a lot of problems with Justin Trudeau. In 2025, the following year, he will be up for re-election. So hopefully we can take our country back in 2024, get President Trump or Governor Ron DeSantis in, and hopefully in 2025, that momentum will carry on over and they will vote Justin Trudeau out in Canada and just kind of show the world that we are sick of these liberal politics and them trying to force all of this crap on the American people. I'm just very excited for what's ahead, because you look at what's going on right now in our country and in Canada, and it's a disaster with who we have in charge.
You're right. You look at what's happening in Canada, which is our next door neighbor with Justin Trudeau. I find it interesting that when the Canadians had the opportunity to kick him out, they didn't do it. Just like when California had the opportunity to kick out their crazy governor.
With Justin Trudeau, it was extremely close, though, unlike the California recall. So I don't know. I'm the type that would say there could have been some shenanigans there.
Yeah, well, we know there was probably shenanigans in California also.
Yeah, but that's true.
You know, what's really scary, and I know this is going to be like a whole new topic, we'll probably have to discuss it tomorrow or another day, is you look at what's happening in Canada. And again, they're just our next door neighbor. And he's taking, so they say, I don't know how accurate this is, I'll have to do some research, that he's taking his lead from Biden. And we know Biden doesn't know his head from his butt, so he's probably someone within the Biden administration that's telling him to crack down on the truckers, do this, go hard, go strong, go this, et cetera, which is extremely dangerous. Because without a doubt, if Biden could do the same thing here, his administration, they would do it. They would crack down on anyone that does not agree with them. And in fact, they're actually doing it now with social media and silencing a lot of our voices. You think about it. I mean, it's very difficult for us to get our voices out there. They shut it down. They've taken us off of social media. We have to create our own platforms. And those platforms are part of platforms that they run. Trump is going to come out with his new platform, True, which is going to be hosted by a platform that's owned by the left. Why is it that the right can't do the same thing? Is anyone's guess? Again, we just like to sit around and play the victim, you know, and it has to change. But it's scary knowing that they're our next door neighbor and they're trying to silence freedom. They're saying that freedom is oppressive and it's white supremacy. this is really scary. And not only that, Andrew, but there's a woman within the prime minister's cabinet who used to work for Barack Obama. She married a Canadian, so she somehow got elected or was risen up, and she's now dictating as to what should happen. Now, what you bet she's not calling Barack Obama and saying, hey, should we do this and should we do that? These people are so corrupt and so evil. We need to have someone who is strong enough to call it out and to shut them down. And as I've said before, I don't want to get to 2022 and we take both houses and then people decide, well, we don't want to look at this. We got to do something else. Nope, nope, nope. You got to steamroll right over it. You got to go full throttle because we need to get to the bottom of this. I know that John Durham is getting to the bottom of one thing. He's working rather methodically, slow as a snail, slow as a sloth. But we need to get to the bottom of this. And wherever it falls, the truth, let it fall and expose it. And if it includes people, members of the Trump family, so be it. I don't care. I want to get to the bottom of it. No one is above the law.
Right.
Including Hillary Clinton, including Barack Obama, including Nancy Pelosi, including Maxine Waters. I don't care what gender, I don't care what color, I don't care where you're from or who you are or what you have. You're not above the law. And in order for people to get back to feeling that their government is working for them, all people, not just some people, but all people, that their government is working for them, this has to be exposed in a way and handled in a way that people cannot question it. And if it means that the media is guilty, and I believe that they are culprits, John Durham has to call them out. And he has to call specifically those individuals that were guilty and culprits. So if it's Don Lemon, if it's Anderson Cooper, Brett Baer, or any of them, they have to be called out and held responsible because they have sown the seeds of discord in our society, Andrew.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that President Trump is going to be gone after even more by the Democrats if more comes out of this Durham report, because if they feel like some momentum starting to go towards Trump and people are starting to wake up and see what the Democrats did to him, they're going to double down and try and go after President Trump even more.
Oh, yeah, they will. They're going to try to go after him even more. The closer we get to the election, they see that he is more powerful and more powerful, and people continue to support him. The whole idea, one of the things they want to do with Jan 6 was to try and tear off his supporters. Whenever Trump has a rally and they see that the people are there, the left goes nuts. The media goes nuts because they're saying we still have not achieved our goal. So what do? They then take it to the courts. And as I have said before, simply because a case is brought before the courts, simply because Letitia James says that she wants to speak with the president and his children, does not mean they've committed wrong. What it does mean is that she's trying to trap them, or she wants to spin a narrative, because they might go in and speak the truth, but then she will come out and have her little leakers to say, oh, they said this and they said that. And of course the media will report on it. And unfortunately, because the media is the way it is, biased, people will believe it. They will hold those things to be true. And it's not true. A lot of the things that they said about the Russia collusion, it just was not true. It didn't happen. But people still think, no, but they said this. Yeah, they said a lie. And people need to come out, people like the right, and say they lied, and they need to say it all the time. The same way we're saying and talking about the corruption on the left, they need to do the same thing. Just like I said, we can't get bogged down in Ukraine, talk about it, but talk about all the other failures of this administration. That's what has to happen, because the moment people get bogged down in lies, that's it. But you have to refute the lies with the truth. The best defense for the truth is the truth, plain and simple.
Yeah, Rob, well said. And yeah, as we've talked about this entire show, it'll be interesting to see how things unfold. We're coming up here on Joe Biden's State of the Union address, and I see the media desperately trying to shape things that Joe Biden hasn't done such a bad job after all. I think they're going to try and make Biden look strong going into the State of the Union address. I think the only reason they didn't have it in January when it's supposed to be is because The country was an absolute disaster. I mean, he had nothing positive to be able to talk about. And they're hoping that he can get a couple small wins going into the State of the Union. But I'm not so sure that that's going to happen if you look at this Ukraine situation unfolding now. What are your thoughts on Joe Biden's delayed State of the Union address?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. And again, this is President's Day, President's Day night. It's interesting that he's doing it late in March, as opposed to I was so accustomed to them being done in January. Of course, Joe came in and he just started moving them. And he moved them because he needed time to go over his lines, to memorize his lines, and to feel comfortable standing in front of people. So that's what's happening now. If we had an honest media, they would talk about it and they would say it. But they won't call it out. They would say, never in history have we ever had a State of the Union in the middle of the year almost. They're making it seem as if though it's commonplace. And again, people don't know any better. They don't know the difference. So they're thinking, oh yeah, it's no big deal. No, that is the reason why Joe is going to Delaware on weekends. That is the reason why he's calling it a cap as early as 10 in the morning so that he can go nap, rehearse, and then learn his lines. He's hoping now that he'll be able to say at the State of the Union, oh, we took care of COVID. It's all gone and we can go back to normal. No, blue states that supported you are already saying we need to open up because people are getting antsy. They're going to take over. Okay, so Joe has delayed this simply because he's hoping that when it's time to do it, he knows all of his lines. And Andrew, we got to also realize that only certain people will be allowed to be in that room and you have to have on a mask in the House chambers, per Nancy Pelosi's rulings, because they're afraid that COVID might come. Oh, give me a break. We all know that you guys are there on the Hill without your mask.
Well, apparently she's changed her mind and invited everybody. Everybody's
oh, really?
Welcome to come. Yep.
Well, let's see if they will show up. That will be interesting. So we have to stay tuned for that, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how Biden tries to frame things. It's been such a disaster since he took over. His handlers are going to have their work cut out for him trying to write a speech to sound positive going into that State of the Union. Of course, by then, he might have a new Supreme Court justice, so that could be something that they will talk about, and they can act like an accomplishment, even though we know that Justice Breyer was forced out. So it was a great discussion tonight. Thank you all for joining us. And make sure you check out After Dark with Robin and Andrew and all of the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. Tons of great shows and articles over at AmericaOutLoud.com. And if you haven't done so already, you can also find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora. Wherever you download your podcast, please make sure you like and subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. We'd really appreciate that. And it helps us spread the word because the more ratings we get, the more we will be promoted by some of these social media platforms that try to censor right-wing news. And here at America Out Loud, we appreciate all the support that we get. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night. Remember, stand for something, or you will fall for nothing.